Alberto Rios, thanks for coming in.
It's a pleasure.
I want to talk about what's going on with Arizona Opera, what went on for you. What sounds like to me almost reverse engineering. You're talking about making words fit with music. You start with a libretto.
Yes.
In another language.
Mm-hmm. German.
Yeah. And are you fluent in German?
Not fluent. I mean, I can recognize cognate type things, and I've got a little bit of experience with it. But no, I don't speak German. And this was a great freedom for me in this particular instance. Arizona Lady, written in a kind of post-war European context, and written about Arizona at a distance through the German language. So there's a lot of variables that are not alienating to Arizona, but maybe not organic. They are an outside view of it. So when it was first presented to me, they said, well, it's in German. Let's look at it, and we're going to translate it. They said, but, you know, some of the characters speak Spanish. It takes place in Tucson, 1920s, and some of the characters speak Spanish, and we'd sure like them to speak it a little better than they are currently with the German accent, you know, and so on. You have all the freedom you want to write the aria, to write, not the music, but to write, you know, the aria. And here's the thing. The music is set. So what you need to do is find write something and have it be translatable with the exact number of syllables that it has in German, with the accent marks in exactly the same place, and with the rhymes in exactly the same place.
And have the open vowel on the long note.
No joke.
Yeah.
And you need to do that in Spanish and in English. Now, these languages do not play well together, and nor do the cultures express themselves in the same way at all. It was a challenge. It was a lot of fun. It was impossible, and so who doesn't want to try and scale Mount Everest? It was not an act of translation either. It was an act of poetry. I was first finding the poem of that moment, writing some language, and then seeing how I could dress it in different suits of clothes. You try it, it fails. You try it, it fails. It gets a little better, and the process is not mysterious, but I don't know who ultimately would have that kind of patience, nor who could hear what in essence needed to be a fourth language, a gray language, something that was not German, ultimately, not Spanish, not English, but something that was an amalgam of all of those things, and that in fact was the moment itself absent language. What was the moment I was trying to give over to a listener? And finding words for that. Sometimes they were English, sometimes they were Spanish, as I was conceptualizing this. And eventually I had to make them everything in all those languages. But it was hearing something beyond them that helped me understand how to let the language itself finally come into play.
Huh. As a native Arizonan, you're looking at something that, from a lens of not only 100 years ago, having been composed, but a lens of literal distance, and then distance that's like a camera obscura almost. Somebody mm-hmm. looking at a place and dreaming of it,
mm-hmm.
and yet wanting to convey. It's almost, I've sung Brahms, and I've sung Bach, I've sung Schumann in both English and German.
Mm-hmm.
And German's a very harsh language, first
yes.
of all. But very often when you get a literal translation of this beautiful translation of a Brahms mm-hmm. choir leader, and you realize how beautiful that was, but if it were taken literally, word for word, it mm-hmm. would almost have no meaning.
That's true. Absolutely true. It doesn't work that way. Translation doesn't work that
yeah,
way
yeah.
in general. You know the way this worked, by the way, and I think this is for me, it was incredibly helpful, interesting, and not something I'd tried before. I'm sure we were by no means the first to do this, but it was an eye-opener for me. The editing process for this, working with Kathleen Kelly, who's directing the opera, she herself is an opera singer as well and has a command of Spanish along with other languages. Opera singers need to be able to just speak in all these modalities. And not only that, speak well. Well, what would happen is, we did this maybe back and forth three times or so, I sent her what I'd written, and then rather than her writing back her comments, she sat down at a piano and simply sang exactly what I had written. She sent that back to me, and I have enough experience with music that when I heard it, I knew when it was working and I knew when it was not.
Yeah.
It was thrilling. This was a very different way to get feedback. And it was almost a mirror. It was not somebody having a critical response. It was somebody actually echoing what you yourself had done and making you take a different look at it. Suddenly, it's what I was describing earlier about David lifting these words into music or into song, that they take wing. Well, to suddenly hear these words I had written and labored so meticulously over, but maybe hadn't actually heard, sung loud, sung in a sustained manner, sung in a way that you could not take back, was eye-opening or ear-opening. Mm-hmm. And that helped me know how to sit down and write. It was very, very exciting.
So the process then, when you realize that,
mm-hmm.
and you're trying to keep the spirit,
yes.
of what the author's saying, are you trying to refocus his lens a little bit, saying it really wasn't like that, or this isn't really...
I have to say that I paid no attention whatsoever to what the libretto was doing in the moments that I was writing. I paid no attention to it at all. I had read it, I knew the spirit of it, but then I started with a clean slate.
Okay.
So I created what I think of as the poem of that moment. It was not, this is not words. You know, arias, are, I mean, it's a curious business what that is. And I reached for something that was there but had not yet been said or sung. And that was my job. And I think that is the job of a poet. A translator wouldn't have had anything to translate, I mean, except the German, which is exactly what was the problem. And so this was literally creating in that moment this new thing that was simultaneously this old thing. That is to say that it was the spirit that connected them, but newly found.
Did you come away with it beyond musically?
Mm-hmm.
A picture of your home state from this odd lens?
Yes, from my perspective, but perhaps not through the perspective of the opera itself, which is kind of a light comic opera and you know, a little, you know, it plays, it's funny, it's humorous, it is working with, you know, themes that I don't know that I would work with. And so I don't know that I get through the opera as a whole a sense of my state. But I do think that in these operatic moments, these aria moments, these small moments of voice flight, that in that I found some new things. So there's just, for example, in the opening, there's a very simple sort of this is something that I have seen, for example, in the works of Gabriel Garcia Marquez in something like Love in the Time of Cholera, where he set out to write a love story. Mm. And in doing that, recognizing that that was the oldest trope in the world. I mean, writing a love story, you know, what can you do? And he, in fact, in that novel, writes himself into some of the corniest corners that a writer could ever find, and then proceeds to write himself out of that corner in a brilliant new way. So he takes these things that should be trite, and he revivifies them, makes them new. Well, in the opening of the opera, for example, then there's a cowboy, he's riding on his horse, and he's just riding through this big canyon, and it's just, that's it, that's the moment. I think, well, that's about as corny an Arizona kind of thing, you know, done, you can almost hear a kind of a, you know, Ferde Grofe moment, you know, Grand Canyon Suite or something. And that's what was wonderful, is to take something that I knew from so many different perspectives, all of them tired, and write into that something new. And I think that's, I appreciated what I did in that moment. That is to say, I appreciated that language gifted to me something that could, in fact, help me understand my own state or that moment in a way better than I had before I did this.
Yeah. Do you know, will there be surtitles?
There will be.
There's, okay.
Yes.
Super titles?
Yeah. And I really hope so, because this is just me talking, and maybe just me from this point of view, but I think the English, or the understanding what the Spanish is saying, is going to be critical. It is worthy. And so I think it's going to be useful to see those subtitles. It's going to be useful I'm hoping an audience will be comfortable enough with the Spanish that they hear that they will register it. Though I think that's difficult at a performance to register all language. You just you can't. It's a difficult thing. So subtitles are going to be, I think, quite helpful.
But it could be those moments where you look at a line flashes up and, there's some crystallization that happens.
That's it. Yeah. I agree.
Yeah. Is it going to be published, your translation? I'm just curious.
I don't know. Yeah. I don't know. That's a good question. I know they got whatever. However, the whole copyright issues work and all that sort of stuff. I'm guessing this is maybe a one-time performance. But I don't know because I think what we came up with is pretty decent. So we'll see.